We
All right. Thank
okay,
you for that.
sure.
All right. So, Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing this evening. We ask that you would give us wisdom to see what you would have us to understand from your word, and may you be glorified during this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Very good.
So, Daniel chapter 7.
Right.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, "I saw my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and had a man's heart. I'm sorry, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, 'Arise, devour much flesh.' After this, I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there, in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words." I'm going to stop. So, we have a very similar account in Revelation of the four beasts, particularly one coming out of the sea. And in fact, we should probably turn there because I think it's a direct
I think so.
correlation. And I don't want to get too ahead of myself.
What chapter in Revelation do you have that noted?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I think it's Revelation 8, but I'm not sure. Let's see if I can find
You know, I'm going to pull it up on the computer so I don't have to lose my spot here.
No.
Let's see here.
Well, nine, 10.
Give me a second, Dad.
Yeah,
Let's see.
no problem.
I'll look it up. I
Chapter
think
thirteen.
it's Revelation 4.
Four. No, four is the four horsemen. But in chapter 13, you'll see what it starts out. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns.
Yes, okay.
And
That's
upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear. Now, are these the same beasts? You got a leopard, I know, in both cases. You also have a bear here, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, it says.
Well, let me read Daniel while you're reading that. So we have the first one, is a lion with eagle's wings. The second is a bear. The third is a leopard.
Right.
And then
The fourth. It doesn't say.
let's say, it just says dreadful and terrible and had huge iron teeth.
Right.
That's where the 10 horns came from.
Right.
Now, I don't have any commentary on that.
So, okay. This one in Revelation, it says that it doesn't tell you what the fourth beast is either. It just says, it mentions that he has the characteristics of the three beasts mentioned in Daniel, and that the dragon gives him his power.
On the fourth piece.
The only beast. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea having seven heads. There was
Oh.
in Revelation, there's just one beast that's seen. But this beast is probably the one that Daniel sees as the fourth beast.
Yeah.
Now, he has the characteristics, though, of the previous three beasts. So it's not like, you see, it's not like it's something new under the sun. It's a continuation of that which has already been, just in a more, I guess,
Well,
in its final form, so to speak.
I mean, we could speculate as to what these are, but
I don't think you mean as to what kings they are.
I'm sorry.
You mean as to what governments they were?
If that, or I mean, whatever they represent.
Well, they definitely represents governments because they have crowns on their heads, which
Right.
means
Okay.
they're rulers.
That's where I was going to go. So in my reading the Pink's Antichrist book, he says that the 10 horns are 10 kings or 10 rulers.
Right.
And the little horn is the Antichrist,
Right.
and which appears here in verse 8. Right, yeah, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them. Pink says that's the Antichrist, and what he means by that is that this his in his political career, it will be initially of little significance, someone that you wouldn't think would mean anything in terms of the other 10 kings who are more prominent, maybe like a Putin and Biden, and so those type of people would have prominence, whereas this guy is insignificant, but he's the little horn. The one that rises out from under them is actually the Antichrist. Now, beyond that, I don't really have anything else to say.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's that. I think finding the correlation in Revelation is going to be very helpful. And I think there may even be a second part in Revelation where the same creature is talked about, but I'm not sure. Maybe not. But because there was talk, I know there's talk in Revelation about the false prophet and the Antichrist, and it's not in this passage, it's not in Revelation 13, so it must be somewhere, right? So I'm just want to look a little further and see if I can find that.
Well, yeah, the false prophet is definitely in Revelation.
Oh, yeah. Here in Revelation 17, Daniel has another, I mean, there's another vision here. Wow, we got to read Revelation 17 too.
So, Dad, while you're looking at that, yeah, the commentary does confirm what you said as well. It says the beasts represent kings or kingdoms. So that means that there's going to be four distinct kingdoms, the last of which, in the form of this 10 king, a
And
one world
which,
government essentially, right? So all of the someone told me, I think Dad, it may have been you, that the world's going to be divided up into 10 regions.
No, I didn't. Well, I may have said that that there was.
I thought I read that somewhere, that you're
Yeah,
actually
you may
working
have read
on
it
that right
too,
now.
because I think that's part of one of these plans that they have.
Right. Yeah, it was like Agenda 22 or something like that. They were
Yeah, one of the
divide
ones.
the world up into 10 regions that were going to
Two
be
districts, yeah.
10 districts
Right.
that could be governed in with the intention of having like a one world government. And it's significant that they're going to be dividing the world up into 10 districts
Would
because
be very, very
there's
significant.
10 horns which represent 10 rulers and 10 kings.
Sure. Yeah. Now, in Revelation 17, it's actually talking about Babylon, who is the mother of all idolatry. And she is being carried by the beast. And that's how come it starts talking about the beast in verse 7. And there's an angel who tells John in the Revelation, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. Which,
Pink
not
says
sure
that,
what that means.
well, Pink says that the Antichrist will suffer a fatal wound to his head.
There is some one prophecy that says that, but I'm not sure that's what that means here, because he's not talking about the Antichrist. He's talking about the beast itself, the government, not this one leader who's going to arise. I think it has more to do with what was mentioned in chapter 13, that even though these four governments that Daniel sees in his vision have passed away, in a sense, they haven't, because the governments that came after them retained the same basic systems and attitudes, so to speak, as to what their objectives were and things like that, and incorporated a lot of those into their present form of government. I mean, even the United States, it's obvious that they based so much of their government on principles taken from Rome. I mean, the architecture even was an attempt to copy Greek and Roman architecture in the governmental buildings.
Okay,
And the
and
laws were modeled, the forms of democracy, and they drew a lot from the past.
I
So
see.
in that sense, they're not, because they've ceased to be, and yet they are, because
Right.
they're still
That's
being.
profound. Right. So, yeah, the Roman Empire was and is not, and yet is
Is, in a
in a different
sense.
iteration.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
Here's the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and these are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. That's probably referring to Antichrist, the one that is to come. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. Ooh, what is that? The beast that was and is not. Oh, now it's saying that the beast is also
The Antichrist.
the Antichrist.
Right, which is where I think Pink was coming from.
Huh. He is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And that's your ten districts that you were talking about. Makes perfectly good sense. These have one mind that shall give their power and strength unto the beast, right? Because he would be.
Oh, right, because ultimately
He'd be the one in control over all
he's
those.
going to the world leaders are going to pledge allegiance to
Right.
the beast, the Antichrist, and they're going to in doing so, they're going to basically turn over all their power and authority,
Right.
because he's going to promise, from what I understand, the world's going to be completely chaotic and out of control, and they're going to have no solution. He's going to say, well, I can fix it, but everyone's going to have to submit to my authority. So that everybody willingly hands over the reins to the Antichrist. So
Wow.
these beasts, and it doesn't, we probably won't be able to identify what they refer to, whether it's a Persian Empire or a Ottoman Empire or whatever, but they're kingdoms.
Yeah.
We don't know, we don't even know where we are necessarily.
And a lot of people have attempted to identify them, and they've come up with pretty good reasons to say what they are. But
It almost seems to suggest that the world, throughout the history of the world, there's going to be four empires, right?
that these four encompass the entire history of the world.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right. And so I don't even think it makes sense to try to identify them because they're not even consistent. Like Daniel saw four, but John is seeing eight, seven and seven plus one. So after you identify who the four is, then you got to identify who the eight are. See
Yeah.
what I'm saying?
Right. Which I don't really think even matters.
It doesn't. I
The
agree
point
with you.
is
The
there
point is
are.
to see the big picture that there are four, that it's the kingdoms of this world that are against Christ and his kingdom, because his kingdom is the kingdom of God, and their power comes from the dragon.
Yes.
And it's his kingdom that is in opposition to God's.
Yeah.
And it's been that way since the beginning of time, in one way or another.
Right. And so, right. It doesn't matter if it's referring to Pharaoh
Or Nimrod or
or Nimrod or Hitler or anybody
yeah,
else.
right. They're all
They're
aspects of the
all in
same thing.
opposition to God, and that's really the bottom line.
Yeah.
Which is all leading towards the ultimate conclusion of Satan's masterpiece.
And I don't think it was wrong for people, let's say, who lived in the time of Nero or in the time of Hitler or in the time of Antiochus Epiphanes to say this guy is the Antichrist. Because in a sense he was. They were the Antichrist.
Yeah, I definitely
In the
think that
sense
that's wrong.
that they were and are not and are yet to come. You see?
Yeah.
And it's very interesting the way that works.
So we don't know where we are now, although, like I said before, it's significant when you see them carving the world up into 10 different districts.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of things that we can see that seem to fit the plan, but there's one piece missing still. We don't know who the Antichrist is.
Yeah.
And that's key because Jesus said that that's the sign, really, that when you see the abomination that maketh desolate sitting in the place in the holy place, That's the sign that the tribulation
I know, and it's interesting that Israel is in turmoil right now.
oh, big trouble. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that are
There's riots in Jerusalem right now.
major. And there's a war on the border with Syria, sponsored by Iran. So there's a lot of things that are very, very interesting going on.
Okay. Well, I guess
Yeah. So
should I
where are we?
continue? We were on verse 9.
Nine. So you're going to continue.
So I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. A thousand thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. I watched them because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away and their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Should we stop here?
Yeah, maybe. That's interesting that after the Antichrist is destroyed, the remaining governments are not thrown into the lake of fire with him.
Yeah.
And I think that's consistent if this time is the 1,000-year reign. Because, in Revelation how it says after the 1,000 years that Antichrist or Satan was released and he went around deceiving the nations. And that's probably those nations whose time was prolonged for a while. I don't know for sure. But an extension of life was given them for a time and a season.
Okay.
And I looked on in the night vision, one like a human being came with the clouds of heaven. He reached the Ancient of Days and was presented to him. Dominion, glory, and kingship were given to him. Now that's prophecy of Christ. Peoples and nations of every language must serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship one that shall not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was disturbed within me, and the vision of my mind alarmed me. I approached one of the attendants and asked him the true meaning of all this. He gave me this interpretation of the matter. These great beasts, four in number, mean four kingdoms will arise out of the earth. Then holy ones of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Then I wanted to ascertain the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from them all. Very fearsome, with teeth of iron, claws of bronze, and that devoured and crushed and stamped the remains and of the 10 horns. Oh, there's 10 there too. 10 horns on its head.
Well, it mentions that
Yeah. Yeah.
in
And of the new one that sprouted to make room for what for which three fell. The horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke arrogantly and which was more conspicuous than its fellows. I looked on as that horn made war with the holy ones and overcame them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was rendered in favor of the holy ones of the Most High. For the time had come and the holy ones took possession of the kingdom. This is what he said. The fourth beast means there will be a fourth kingdom upon the earth, which will be different from all the kingdoms. It will devour the whole earth, tread it down, crush it. And the 10 horn means from that kingdom, 10 kings will arise and after them another will arise. He will be different from the former ones and will bring low three kings. He will speak words against the Most High and will harass the holy ones of the Most High. He will think of changing times and laws, and they will be delivered into his power for a time, times and a half time. Now, time, times and a half time is 3.5 years. And most commentators say that's referencing the second half of the tribulation period. And it
Okay.
makes sense, and given everything else that's being discussed, the kingdom and dominion and grandeur belonging to all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the people of the holy ones of the Most High. So after the 3.5 years, that's when Christ returns, and when the kingdom of the world become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. The kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey them. Here the account ends. I, Daniel, was very alarmed by my thoughts, and my face darkened, and I could not put the matter out of my mind.
So I also wanted to mention that when it says here, where was that? Where it says that the beast makes war against the holy saints? Oh yeah, verse 21. I was watching, yeah, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. The Ancient of Days came. It's interesting that the Muslims are awaiting this Jesus's return too, and in their religion, they think at that point that Jesus will and the faithful Muslims on the earth will together wage a holy war against all the infidels or people not submitting to Islam. But when we view that in terms of scripture, their Messiah, I believe, is actually going to be the Antichrist.
Could it's
But
very
they're going to interpret that as being Jesus's second return. And when he says, "Hey, here I am. I told you I was going to, according to
books.
your books, you were anticipating my return. Here I am. Now let's go wage this war, particularly against the Jews, which are their, what I don't know what to say. They're avowed enemy. So the Jews and Christians and essentially everybody who will not submit to Islam, they're going to think that it's this justifiable holy war. In fact, scripture also says there is a time coming when those who kill you will think that they're doing God's work. So I believe that what they're looking forward to is not Christ, but the Antichrist, which I think is really significant.
I think you're right on, John. I think that makes perfect
And when
sense.
Cowher told me that when Jesus returns, he's going to be in his army and, destroying everybody, I thought that was such a strange statement, that Jesus, and yet then when you, but when, like I said, when you view that in light of scripture, it's
It's
amazing.
incorporated into the prophecy already in the sense.
Yeah, right. Right, so there, what they
It's
claim is
amazing.
Christ will be the Antichrist, which is going to be, anyway, what were you going to say, Dad?
No, I said it's amazing. It's very difficult to try to piece together a detailed scenario. Because there's bits and pieces of things scattered all through the scripture, like the passage you just quoted, the one where Jesus said, the time it'll they will come with all who kill you will think they're doing God's work or something like that. In its context, you wouldn't necessarily relate that to what's being spoken of by Daniel or John or Zechariah. But it when you know, the more you know about the prophecies, the more you're able to see how the different pieces fit together. These words that aren't necessarily part of a direct prophecy about the end times, they're just spoken in, as general truths, you know.
I know, this is off topic, but I was before the meeting, I was telling Carmen this that, there's a lot of talk today about solving the homeless problem, right? They want to do all kinds of things, and it's constantly solving the homeless problem. But I was reading in, I think it was Deuteronomy or something. It's hard to pin these things down because
Yeah, because again,
every
they're
hour is
scattered.
a day. But it was like, I think it was in Deuteronomy. But the point is, it says some. I th it's somewhere in Deuteronomy that it says, "Oh, Mark's calling me, dude. Let me call you back. That's okay. All right, buddy. Thank you. It says in Deuteronomy, and I don't want to take the time to look for it, but essentially, it says, there will always be
The poor will always be with
poor
you.
with
That's what
you."
Jesus said.
Right, and that's what I was getting at. That's written in the Old Testament as a fact, like there will always be poor among you. And then Jesus said that too when Judas wanted to sell the oil. It's like you will always be poor. So that's reiterated again. And what was my point? My point is that yes, these things are stated in separate books, and just and it's a little fragment. Like Jesus said it almost as an aside, like you will always have the poor with you. And then it's said in the Old Testament. Then you have to synthesize those things. But moreover, oh, this was the point. All of these attempts to do things for the homeless are really going to fail because the Bible says you will always have the poor with you. And Jesus picked that up and said it, said that as well. Right. So, anyway, that's a different topic. Let's.
There's a lot of demand that there's something I read last week, and I'm not going to find the spot either. But speaking of all that, it was talking about the wicked and their attitude toward the poor, and the words that were in the text said that they want to get them off the street. And I said, yeah, that's exactly what the attitude is. They just want to get rid of all the poor, you know? They don't want to really help them. They want to get rid of them, you know?
I mean, I think it's in Malibu or something like that. I mean, where the real estate is ridiculous, and you walk outside and there's, tents all over the place. So yeah, they're saying, look, if I'm spending, $5 million on my house, I should be seeing the ocean, not homeless people. So get them out of here. They don't really have a solution, but I guess anyway, that wasn't really the point. My point was I think it helps when you can read something and then find where that's stated elsewhere. Should I read eight?
Well, do we have time for it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Don't think we have anything else to say about seven, right?
I don't think specifically. I mean, we could continue to go on talking about different things about this period that's being covered, probably. One other observation that might be worth noting, just like Daniel and Revelation have parallel passages, I think even Daniel himself, like, within Daniel, you see the same thing repeated because you have Nebuchadnezzar's vision of the great statue. That, in essence, also talks about four kingdoms and how the stone that was cut out not by man's hands that fell from heaven and destroyed the feet, and then the whole The whole image collapsed. That's
Right.
talking about the same thing. It's talking about this, what we were, it's referring to this universal kingdom, like you were saying, how there's always been this force that's been against God's rule on earth.
Yes.
And it's comprised, you know, there's a there was the head, then there was the body, then there were the legs, and there were the feet. The feet have 10 toes. And finally it's destroyed. The 10 toes are hit with the stone that falls from that comes from heaven. And then the whole thing collapses. That's the end of so you get a little piece, you know, of what the significance of things are in the first vision that Nebuchadnezzar had. And then Daniel has this further one over here. So.
I thought always thought it was interesting as to why the end times prophecies are scattered, meaning between Daniel primarily and John.
I almost think God wants to hide it. Hide the revel. You know how even when Daniel and John have these revelations, they're told this is sealed.
Right.
You can't know everything about it. You can know a little bit, but you can't know everything until the time of the end, and then it'll be revealed.
Yeah.
So I think God wants us to know what's important for us to live lives faithful to Him. But to just try to satisfy our curiosity, I don't think that was part of His plan. And so He tries to frustrate those endeavors.
I know it's really strange. You're right. I think that that's well said. It's like, why so ambiguous, you know, with the number of his name and all of these things
Yeah, it doesn't, why does it just tell you what his name is, you know?
yeah, exactly. Why can't it just, yeah.
That's a perfect point. Case in point. Obviously, God could have, but he didn't want to make it that plain.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I think it's because these words are meant for the faithful. If the world knew exactly what was going to happen, they would even be more intent on frustrating God's plan than they are now.
Right. I was thinking along the same lines. Like, what if it did say, here's the Antichrist and his name is this. And, but I was thinking, even if one does arise with that name and they're clearly the Antichrist, I don't think the world would believe it any more than, because look at Lazarus and the rich
Yeah,
man.
right.
So even if it did explicitly say, I don't think that the world would believe anyway.
No, the world is wouldn't, and I don't think I think it may be even deeper than this. You know, there's a battle between Satan and God. And it sounds strange to say that because God is going to win.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not sure Satan think believes that. I think he thinks he's going to And the way God, it is like a big chess game because, you know, when you play chess, you'll move your pieces in such a way where the guy who's your opponent tries to see ahead and say, oh, if he does that, then I'm going to do this. And if he does that, then I'm going to do this.
Right.
And so actually, you're the object is not to take pieces. When people first play the game, that's what they think. Oh, I'll take as many pieces as I can. But the object is not to take pieces. The object is to do one thing and one thing only, to take out the
Right.
king. So you can actually, if you were a supercomputer, you play the whole game in your head before you move a single piece. And after that, every piece you move
That's a great
is
analogy. Is it
contingent
immemorial?
upon what the other guy does. So there are, it's these prophecies in some sense can't be detailed because there's a sense in which I think it really depends on what we do, what Satan does, on everything that happens, not the ultimate outcome. I think the ultimate outcome is an assurity if you believe God. But how it comes about, there's because there's that element of free will, isn't it? It's not determined. It's indeterminate. And so the prophecies have to be vague. For that reason,
That's really, really deep.
just vague to the extent that they're not lies, but they aren't lies because they're trying to tell you more than really can be told.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I never thought about that, about Satan actually thinking that he's gonna win.
I think he came real close at the crucifixion of Jesus. I think he thought this is it. I mean, he's
Yeah.
going to be put to death. Now what's God, you know? And it wasn't so much that God couldn't do it, but I don't think Satan realized that that was God, that by his having Christ put to death would become the means for God to justly save those who were aligned with, who would accept Christ as their substitute, as their new head of their new head, and that it would found this new creation
Yeah.
that he had no authority over. So
Pretty amazing. But
it's
you're right,
pretty important.
he has to believe that, or else what would be the point?
Yeah, there has to be some aspect where he thinks he can
Right.
do it.
I
And
mean,
I think he thinks he's going to be
if
able to, if he failed one time, well, I'll get it, I'll do it the next time. Okay.
Right. Because I mean, if someone told you that, I want you to enter this contest and, try really hard, and whoever is the better person, they'll win. But that's not going to be you. So, but try, go out there, do your best, but just know it's ultimately you're going to lose. I mean, you would say, what's the point? Right?
Unless you thought you were the best.
Right. Well, yeah, but if it's already established that you
You mean
won't.
if you knew, if you believed that it would, that you didn't have a chance, what would be the point?
Right. So he must believe that he has a chance, or else what would be the point of doing it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah, what would be the point of rebelling in the first place is what you're really saying, you know?
Yeah.
Satan rebelled against God. He must have thought there was some benefit in doing that.
Right. Yeah, I've often thought about that, if the Bible tells of your downfall and all of these things are going to happen, why don't you just throw your hands up and just say, all right, well, if I'm going to lose, let me just lose now. What's the point of going through all of these things? But anyway,
Yeah.
that's interesting. All right, well, let me do chapter 8, if we can.
Okay.
Although this is a big chapter.
Yeah, maybe we should hold this till next time. I don't know what time. Let me see.
We have we've been talking about for about 40 minutes.
Okay, let's do it.
You know what's interesting? Well, we have 20 minutes. Do you think?
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. That should be no problem.
All right. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after one that appeared to me the first time. I saw in the vision, and it so happened while I was looking that I was in Shushan, the citadel, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision that I was by the river Ulai. Then I lifted my eyes and saw, and there, standing beside the river, was a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward, so that no animal could withstand him, nor was there any that could deliver from his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west across the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Then he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and ran at him with furious power. And I saw him fronting the ram. He was moved with rage against him, attacked the ram, and broke his two horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled him, and there was no one that could deliver the ram from his hand. Therefore, the male goat grew very great, but when he became too strong, the large horn was broken, and in place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven. And out of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Because of transgression, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices, and it cast truth down to the ground and did all this and prospered. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that certain one who was speaking, "How long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot?" And he said to me, "For 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed." I guess I'll pause here.
Yeah.
So, what's going on here?
Well, most commentators say this is obviously referring to Antiochus Epiphanes, because the kingdom that was there during Daniel's prophecy was the Medo-Persian kingdom. Those are the two horns, Media and Persia. And the kingdom that came up after and defeated the Medo-Persian kingdom was the kingdom of Alexander the Great, which conquered the whole world of that time. But after Alexander died, four of his generals took over. Each one had a different part of the original territory. And one of them grew stronger than the rest, and that was the king, the Antiochus Epiphanes section, and he was the ruler over the Syrian or the northern territory north of Israel. And of course, he's the one who persecuted the Jews and tried to exterminate the Jewish religion. He's the one who offered pagan sacrifices on the altar and polluted the altar so that the Jews couldn't use it anymore in the original temple. And ultimately went to war with the Maccabees, who defeated him. So why would this story about a something that happened in history and isn't, it's already happened. What, why, if that's, I don't think that's all there is to it. I think it's also at the same time saying that, again, this final leader that's going to rise is going to be just like the historical Antiochus.
Yes.
Now, the 2300 days, that is the interesting part. There's a lot of people who have written about that. And it's very difficult. It could be that it's 2300 years from the time that Daniel has this prophecy, which would be approximately where we are now, or could be, or could be. I'm not saying it's shy some 150 years approximately, depending, but you see, it depends on how you place the, how you date all this stuff in ancient history, and it's very difficult. There's calendrical differences, there's a lot of different things, and you can't pinpoint an exact date or year, but you can get a general idea. And if that's the correct way to look at it, it's another one of those things that's saying we're getting closer and closer to that point in time.
Yeah. I thought in verse 12 that it was interesting how it says, and he cast truth down to the ground.
And boy, you're seeing that as the characteristic of everything that's going on in government and in the world these
Yes.
days.
And I think that's right. That's when you were saying that we're getting close, that's definitely one of the indications that they cast truth to the ground. Definitely.
It's like they figured out how to make, no matter what you say, how to make it a lie, and what their lie is the truth. It's unbelievable. See it on the news all the time.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Doesn't matter what happens, if if people are killed in the Christian school on Nashville, it's not that the Christians are being targeted, it's that the transgenders are being targeted.
Right. In
Who in the
fact,
world would ever, how would, who would have known,
I know. Right, it's the closed-minded Christian parents who are to blame. It's just amazing.
absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's why that stood out to me. I was like, truth cast onto the ground. I was like, yeah, well, that's definitely happening. Well,
So continue.
for the that overview, Dad. Let me continue. Then it happened when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning that suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Eulai who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came near, I was afraid and fell on my face. But he said to me, understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground, but he touched me and stood me upright. And he said, look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation. For at the appointed time, the end shall be. The ram which you saw having the two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia. And the male goat is the kingdom of Greece. The large horn that is between its eyes is the first king. As for the broken horn and the four that stood up in its place, the four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, A king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully, and shall prosper and thrive, and shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes. But he shall be broken without human means. And the vision of the evenings and mornings which was told is true. Therefore, seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick for days. Afterward, I arose and went about the king's business. I was astonished by the vision, but no one understood it.
Yeah,
Again,
that
causing
seems to
this.
follow pretty much what I said, doesn't it? He says it's regarding Persian Greece, but and he says in the latter days of these kingdoms. So I think there's a this dual understanding that even though it's about the current situation,
Yeah.
it's also about something in the future.
Absolutely, because doesn't it say that in 17,
Yeah.
understand some of men, that the vision refers to the time of the end?
Yeah.
So it's both past and future.
Yep. Yep. That's pretty amazing.
I like how it says, where was that? Oh yeah, it says, but he shall be broken without human means.
Yep.
Verse. What else can we say? Nothing other than it's interesting too that this whole description of transgressors have reached their fullness.
Yeah. That's always been the case where it's like transgression has to reach its full level before God will intervene. And there's other
As
passages
was demonstrated in the flood
in
and in
right.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right. And there's probably other examples too, but those two are two big ones. I think also,
It's funny, that's another thing Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so it will be at the end.
Notice how we were talking about things not being made plain. It says right here, keep the vision a secret, for it pertains to far off days.
Yeah, seal up the vision.
Seal up the vision.
Right. And then it says it refers to many days in the future. So, yeah, it can't just be a retelling of this.
Something that already happened.
That's, yeah, that's clear. Well, I guess we'll stop
We can
there.
stop then. I'm going to stop this recording.